morning. Glad to see everybody out this morning. I want to take this opportunity to thank the elders and Mike for allowing me to be up here before you this morning in Mike's absence. This morning, I'd like to start off by asking a question. What would it take for you to curse God and die? What would it take for you to stop just being a Christian altogether? To stop being faithful and to stop serving God? Well, these questions Satan asks about each and every one of us every single day. Because he watches us, he studies us, and he's looking for one weakness that he can use against us to try to get us to turn our back on God. Well, Satan asked the same questions about a man named Job. Now, Satan told God that the only reason why Job served him was because God had put hedges around him. So let's read this conversation a little right quick here. Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 11. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he surely will curse you to your face." So Satan is telling us, basically, if God takes everything away, that Job's going to curse him and not serve him anymore. And so also I want to look at, too, the hedges that Satan is talking about. But before we get to the hedges, I want to kind of take a look at, briefly, Job's character. Well, in verse 8 it said, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? He is a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil.'" So if he fears God and shuns evil, then Job must be a happy man. Because we know that when we do what God wants us to do, that we are happy. And of course, Job's family was happy too. In verse 4 it said, "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them." So they were eating and drinking, apparently happy as well, just as happy as Job is. Now also, we know that Job was very spiritual, because Job's spirituality is seen in the fact that he offered sacrifices for his children. In verse 5, "So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did regularly." So we see here that his family knew what God expected and what God wanted them to do. If not, then Job wouldn't have to go and offer sacrifices. So we can say that old Job, he trained his family very well. Now, being the head of the house, or being the head of the family, should set this example in the family concerning all the spiritual matters. Now I want to look at Job's hedges according to Satan. Satan believed that Job's faithfulness and love for God was a result of God's blessings upon him. Verse 2, "And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. What a distinction. What a description to be the greatest of all the people of the East. So that just tells us how blessed Job was. But we know the Lord did allow Satan to test Job, just like the Lord allows Satan to test us. Verse 11, "But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." And I'll bring up a point here, how confident God was in Job. So just something to think about as we're going through this lesson. How confident is God in you? Well, first, Job lost all of his property. "Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Now, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Now, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Well, that's a lot to happen in Job in one time. That's a lot. But don't stop there. His children are all killed at once. Job 1:18 and 19. "While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." I couldn't imagine losing my children. I'm sure most of y'all couldn't either. But it's just terrible. Lose his property, everything he owned. Then he loses all of his children. But did Job sin? No, he didn't. In verse 20 of chapter 1, "Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped God after all this. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." Well, next, Job is then afflicted from his head to his feet with boils. Job 2, 5 through 7. "But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he surely will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head." I don't think Satan was expecting to get this far. He thought after Job, he took everything away from Job and lost his children, that Job would curse God. But of course he didn't, so Satan had to go a little bit further. Well, next, Job sits in ashes and is apparently cast out from society. In Job 2:8, "And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes." Well, next, even his wife turns on him and tells him to curse God and die. Verse 9, chapter 1. "Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. The one person that should be supportive and be with him through all of this is telling him to curse God and die." How terrible is that? But did Job sin? Nope, sure didn't. In verse 10, "But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Well, next, his three friends came and failed him miserably. Job 3:11. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. 7 days and seven nights, they didn't try to comfort him at all. Did not say a word to him at all. What kind of friends are that? And of course, they don't help him. They just discourage him. In Job 16:1-2, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of wind have an end? Well, in Job 19:21-22, have pity on me. Have pity on me, O you my friends. For the hand of God has struck me. Why do you persecute me as God does and are not satisfied with my flesh? So they persecuted Job because of all of this. But did Job sin? No, he didn't. So I want to ask you, what is our love for God based on? What are some of the hedges in our lives that Satan wants to take down? Well, maybe it's our jobs. What if we lost our job? Ever thought about that? How would you pay your bills? What would our attitudes be like? Would we be like Job? Well, maybe it's our freedoms taken away. But what if our country got conquered and we were forced to change the way of life and it was a crime to be a Christian? Would you give it up? Acts 5:28-29. Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than men. And if it ever gets to that point where it's a crime, we need to obey God rather than men, no matter what the consequence is going to be. Well, maybe it's our family. You know, we say we love the Lord, but if everyone in our family died, would you lose your faith in God? Would you leave the Lord? In Matthew 10:37, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Maybe it's our health. You know, if we get sick and never got well, will we keep on serving God? Or will we blame the Lord and just go our own way? Renounce Christianity. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, Job was made better because of all his suffering. Because through this suffering that he suffered, he came to know God as he had never known him before. And so, is God really first in your life, or is he only first when the hedges are in place? Something to think about. Because, see, it's all about a character. And I found this poem, and I thought it was quite pertinent to this sermon. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. And if you think about that, that's true. We have to really watch ourselves. What we say, what we do, how we act. Not only when we're in here, but when we're out in the world, when people are watching us. So we just need to be like Job at the end of the day. That's what we need to be like. Now, maybe somebody out here in the audience that asks, well, how? Well, let's look and see how to be like Job. Well, first, before you do anything, we got to hear the word. Romans 10:17, so faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We got to believe. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. We got to repent. Luke 13:3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now we got to confess. Matthew 10:32. Whoever confesses me before men, him I shall confess before my Father. And be baptized, should be Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So to be like Job, we first must do the steps of salvation and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Because once we're baptized, that means that we're in Christ. And if we're in Christ, that means we're saved. Then we can work and work on being like Job. So I want to ask you this morning if there's any here who want to be like Job but have not been baptized for the remission of sins and would like to do so, I would ask that you would come forward. Or if you have already been baptized for the remission of your sins and if you've gone back in the world, I'd ask that you would come forward as well as we stand and sing.